number of announcements this evening. Teenagers, just a reminder, Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. doing mulch, Nerf wars. Come dress to lay mulch. Nerf guns, ammo, and eye protection provided. Ladies, a reminder, your event on Saturday. I made a mention Sunday that Joanne needed a keyboard. She no longer has that need. Went to her house and rebooted her computer, and her keyboard works again. So she's excited about that. And free firewood. Barb has firewood at her house, a big tree cut down near the street, and it is all free until it is gone. 5541 Hallwood Street in Alexandria, just across the way. We have revival services coming up with Dwight Smith starting a week from Sunday. And I hope you have that on your calendar. You're inviting folks to come out. Every service, we're asking one of our men to pray. And Alan Olmsted is going to come and pray for us this evening. You remember that, right? Yeah, okay, come on. He's looking at me like, now? I think he was hoping I forgot. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. As Brother Olmsted is praying, you should be praying for God to do something in your life, praying for those that you've invited, praying for God to touch people's hearts for salvation. There'll be all kinds of people here. And we are powerless without God. Brother Olmsted.
God Almighty, we come to you and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Father, we ask for your help in preparing our hearts for revival, that we may seek revival in our hearts, Lord. And Father, to have a right relationship with you and with others, Father. And Lord, we pray that you give us the boldness and the opportunities to seek others and fight them out, Father, to encourage others to come and maybe work in their hearts and our hearts during that time, Lord, to encourage us and to Lord, to plant the seed of salvation, Lord, to water it, to, Lord, bring the increase of that. And Father, we just ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Be in prayer. Be inviting. Take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. And people, you may be dismissed. Know Your Enemy is the title of this chapter that I've given to this chapter. Nehemiah is rebuilding. And the Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it, I it in the person of Christ. Why? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We have looked at the first five chapters of Nehemiah, and we have seen a lackluster group of people. We have seen attacks. We have seen discouragement from within. We have seen attacks from without. We have seen a financial oppression last week in chapter 5. We saw stress. And we mentioned last week, stress is not the cause of failure. Stress reveals the weakness that you have in your life. Again, a bridge, an engineer takes a bridge or a structure they'll test it. They'll add weight and add weight and add weight until they figure out how much weight causes that item to break. The stress didn't cause the break. It just revealed where the weakness was. So you have stress in your life. You can say, if I didn't have any stress, I'd be a good Christian. No, you wouldn't. If you didn't have stress in your life, you wouldn't know where your weaknesses were. But when God reveals them to you, then you should take care of them. Paul talking about that in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 6, They're about ready to finish the wall. And you would think that success would cause you to be in a place where you don't have to worry about Satan's attacks anymore. That he, and certainly he does. He goes after weaker people. And he goes to people that are on the fringes. He goes to people that are on the outside. But I'm humbled every Sunday morning to sit in Greg Parsons' Sunday school class, and he prays for me before I go into the pulpit, because he knows the preacher is a target as well. And you are a target. You should know that. We're in chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let's meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me. You would like to think telling them no to that telemarketer is sufficient? No, you got to tell them no, 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 no. And Nehemiah is telling them no, 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 no. And finally he's going to hang up on them all together. Four times. Yet after they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. It's good to have a policy on how you deal with obstruction and obstructionists. Then sent Sanballat, his servant. Well, he's not working. Let's try a different voice. Somebody calling from a different number. They sent his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter. You got to love open letters. To whom it may concern. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gushmosh saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. What is that? False accusation. And where is he getting attacked? He's getting attacked in success. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And boy, I tell you what, you get some of those false attacks, some of those false accusations, he'll cause your head to spin. And you think, wow, I got to come out and defend myself. Come church Sunday night. We'll learn from David and what he did. How big is your God? How big is your God? Who put you there? You don't need to worry about it. But they want you to worry. And they want to bring those false attacks. And verse 7, and it has been appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now it shall be reported to the king, according to these words. That's a threat. They threatened him. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. We're here to help you. Come and talk to us. We'll sit down. We're your friend. We'll figure out a way to counteract this. But now Nehemiah saw right through their subterfuge. He knew that they were not there to help. But that's what they're saying. Verse 7, let me help you. Verse 8, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid. And there's fear as a tactic. Again, Satan. These are satanic attacks by the enemy to stop the work of the Lord before it is finished. To stop them in their success. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. They don't want it to finish. They don't want it to continue. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Methabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of the Lord. So you're not going to meet us at the local restaurant. Maybe we come to church and meet you there. Let's meet at the house together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come up to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. I'll not do it. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Wow, don't you hate that? their scheme has been revealed. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their work, these their works, and on their prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah did not, he identified, he recognized the satanic attacks. He did not allow them to stop the work. The work was finished. What do you think is going to be the response? Well, if you're the people that finished the work, man, you're just excited. But if you're the enemy that wanted the work to stop, let's see how it affects them. Because the same will be true today. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. Now they've got depression, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Now think about where we've been on Sunday morning for the last several weeks, and I mentioned this in teacher's meeting, as you look at it, when you understand that you're supposed to be holy, so that you can be like Christ, so that the world will see you and see Christ. And you look at this, here's Nehemiah, he's going to be holy, he's going to do the right thing, he's going to keep focused on God, he's going to finish the work, and what did the heathen see? They saw God. They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. You see it again, Nehemiah. It's nothing new. Verse 17, moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him. Oh, you think all those Christians or those people that call themselves Christians are your friends? Not necessarily so. Because he was a son-in-law, family connection, of Shemaiah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, and also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Satan attacks the weak. He absolutely does. But Satan also attacks the strong. He does. And we should know that. We have a Sunday, and we've had great progress, and we've seen people saved, and we've seen people baptized. Mrs. Bishop and I will walk out the door, we'll be hand in hand, we'll walk across the street, and we'll say to each other, man, we had a great day today. Wonder what Satan's going to throw at us. It's just, listen, we are not ignorant of his devices. You're having a great day, a great spiritual victory, something great happened in your life. Don't be surprised. A matter of fact, look for it. Look for it. If the good men of the house had known at what hour the thief were coming, he would have been ready. And if you know the thief is out there and you look at him, it's not going to take you by surprise, and it will help lessen the blow, probably even protect you. So they're almost done. They're putting on the finishing touches. The breaches are filled. Probably they're planning a celebration, possibly, and the enemy is planning an attack. Let's meet, let's talk, let's come to a consensus. Listen, we are indeed vulnerable when we are weak. But we are also vulnerable when we are strong. Apostle Paul realized that, and he wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, when I say to myself, I can't possibly hold up under this load, I go to the Lord in prayer, he makes me strong. For when I am weak, I find that I pray more. When I pray more, I have more power. When I have more power, I get more done. When I'm strong, I pray less. When I pray less, I have less power. So in my strength, I'm weak. In my weakness, I'm strong. Paul laid a hold on that, and he wrote to the church at Corinth about that. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Paul recognized that weakness caused him to rely on God, thus he was strong. Again, in strength, we're tempted
to rely on the flesh. I don't need God. I'm a great orator, right? I don't need God. I'm a great driver, right? And so you get on the beltway without praying, and then you wreck. You say, man, didn't see that coming. Well, hello, no, you didn't. Because you thought you were just fine, and you didn't need God's help. And God said, fine, go ahead. Let me know how that works. And it never works well. 1 Corinthians, again, the first letter to Corinth. In the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, Paul said, why did this happen in Nehemiah chapter 6? Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. They're having success, but Satan is not done. He is not done. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You don't have to exalt yourself. Let God exalt you. Let God bring it to pass. Let God do it. Satan attacks the weak. He also attacks the strong. From this chapter, we also see that Satan attacks our weaknesses. And so we shore up our weaknesses, but oftentimes we don't often shore up our strengths, and we should. There is a strength. Nehemiah has a strength, and his strength is in proper priorities. I'm not come here to be a politician. I'm not here to have a community powwow. I'm here to build a wall. I'm here for a purpose. This is my priority. And you should have some priorities in your life. I was talking to a missions director just a couple of weeks ago, and I asked, anytime you got a missions director, I'm going to ask him questions. And there are other preachers there, and they wanted to tell stories about great things that they had done. I wanted to pick his brain. So he told us he was going to take questions. I wrote down all kinds of questions for him. And I said, in asking my first question, I said, we have a missions philosophy of looking for church planters and soul winners. That's what we're doing. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Bishop, let me stop you right there. I haven't asked my question yet. He said, you've got a missions philosophy. How long have you had that? I said, well, I've been here 28 years. We've had about 28 years. He said, Brother Bishop, God bless you for having a missions philosophy. You'd be surprised how many of the preachers standing right here don't have a philosophy at all. And they get somebody in, and the kids look cute, and they support them just based on the kids look cute, and they're bad missionaries. What's your question? I don't remember what my question is, but I knew that he said, yeah, you got priorities. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And it's important to shore up those priorities. I cannot. He could have, but his priority said, I cannot come down. So a person calls up on the phone, and it's a lady, and she's going to do, I don't know, a dental work in the Amazon jungle. Brush your teeth. I'm all for toothbrushes. But our missions philosophy is church planters and soul winners. So we're not going to send, we might send some toothbrushes with our missionary. But we're not going to send somebody out there to distribute toothbrushes. Just have priority. But Satan is persistent. So he came to them in his priority, attacking his priorities, not once, not two, not three, but four times, and then sent somebody else to attack him that fifth time. And you study the Bible, you'll find that in the temptation of Christ in the Gospels, Satan attacked him multiple times. Did he not? The temptation of Peter by the fire. Peter was tempted multiple times. I'm just saying, we're not ignorant of his devices. Nehemiah was tempted. Christ was tempted. Peter was tempted. You should expect to be tempted in the area of your strength. You should expect multiple hits. it should not take you by surprise. And you should determine ahead of time that you are going to keep your eyes on the priority in your life. So Mrs. Bishop is a priority in my life. So, ladies, if you want to meet me for coffee or lunch or tea or, Mrs. Bishop priority. I date Mrs. Bishop. I'm not dating other ladies. Now I'll point you to other ladies. I'll say, Mrs. Bishop, and I'd be glad to meet you. But if you're looking for one-on-one time with the preacher, then I have to look at you as a satanic attack. I have to think that. Every once in a while, over the years, when we were first married, I was in police work, and we were in church, a good church, fundamental Bible preaching, soul winning, bus running church, and we sang in the choir, and I come in to get my choir folder, and a lady, she's probably 10 years older than I was, she had some kind comments, and we walked away, and Mrs. Bishop said, I don't trust that lady. We're in church. She's singing in choir. She's a good Christian, had a good family. And Ms. Bishop said, I don't trust her. And I'm thinking, satanic attack in my area of strength. Area of strength is that I am loyal to Mrs. Bishop. She is a priority in my life. Don't you think that Satan's not going to attack you in that area? You better be ready to say, you know what? Stay away from me. Run for your life. Guy called me this week. He said, preacher, what do you think? I said, run for your life. Run for your life. Run for your life. There's a lady, she calls the church. She's called the church for the last 20 years. She calls the church like every other month. She's called the church long enough that she talked to Sandy Birch when Sandy Birch was here 20 years ago as a secretary. She's called and talked to Dorothy, who's now home. Hey, Dorothy. That lady's still calling. I'm not going to tell her name, but you know who it is. And trying to get a meeting for her husband, so she says. And then she calls Nancy now. And Nancy goes, hey, this lady's calling. She sounds really sweet and nice. And I said, Nancy, I'm not returning her call. I told her 20 years ago, I'm not returning her call. She calls and calls and calls and calls and calls. The first thing I want to know is, why isn't your husband calling me? Why isn't he calling me? He's such a great preacher. I don't know who her husband is. And so I go to another church, and I said to the pastor, I said, hey, do you get calls from... And he went, oh, yeah, she's nice. I always return her calls. She talks to me for an hour or two on the phone. Listen, I don't have an hour or two on the phone to talk to you every other month for 20 years. I don't have that because it's not a priority. But I tell you what, Satan will use good people to get your eyes off of the prize. That's what he's doing in Nehemiah, and he's going to do it to you. Not once, not two, not three. So, Pastor, do you return her calls? I don't return her calls. And I never will. And here's another priority in my life. I would never schedule them for a meeting. Never. I just determined years ago that I wasn't going to let some pushy person push their way into the pulpit. I was going to let the Holy Spirit and God direct who's going to stand behind this desk. You just got to be careful because there are some pushy people out there. Some of them are women. Some of them are men. Parents, guard your children. Your children, are they a priority? Most parents would say yes. My children are a priority. You should expect that Satan's going to attack you. Can I come to your house? Can they come to my house? Can they sleep overnight? We just determined ahead of time we're going to say no. And so we were here. The kids were small, and they come to Miss. They wouldn't come to me. They go, Mrs. Bishop. Can we come? 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 Can they come? Can they come? Can they spend the night? And Mrs. Bishop would say, I'll ask their father. And so she'd come to me. And I'd say, no, absolutely not. We're not going to do it because they're a priority. And that's, you have no idea. I mean, you, this is what my dad says. You don't know the people you think you know. My job as a dad, Genesis, Adam and Eve in the garden, is to protect the garden. And so I said to Miss Bishop, so she said, but I feel so bad telling them no. I said, so they're going to go to that house and they're going to get molested, or they're going to see some dirty video or something laying around, or somebody's going to take advantage of them. Is it worth that, losing your child? And this bishop was like, well, when you put it that way, it doesn't sound so good. And I said, no, it doesn't sound good. She said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When they ask me, I'm going to say, go talk to you. I said, great, you tell them that. So that was our philosophy from then on. They'd go to Mrs. Bishop and say, can they? And Mrs. Bishop would say, go talk to him. And you know what? They never come talk to me. Guard your children. How many times will he attack? Over and over and over again. Why? Because Satan wants to wreck your kids. He doesn't want to wreck walls. He just doesn't want to stop progress. We are not ignorant of his devices. This chapter is here to tell us how Satan wants to get advantage of us. They're written for our ensamples, that we should protect the ministry, protect bus route, protect our kids, protect our marriages. We should be on guard. And so, and I'm not going to hide. Verse 11, he says, I will not go in. Nehemiah, you better get in here. You better hide because, boy, it's getting hot in the kitchen. These guys are dangerous guys. And Nehemiah said, no, I will not. I'm not going in. Satan will attack you directly. He'll get a Sanballat and Tobiah to attack you. He'll get the friends of Sanballat and Tobiah to attack you. He'll get, verse 18, 17, 18, and 19, he'll get other Christians, quote unquote, to attack you. I just say if they're attacking you, they're not your friend. He'll do that. We were on vacation, and we were coming back to Virginia. We were just south of Toledo. We're at the turnpike, and before we get on the turnpike, we always stop and get gas, and the kids get something to eat. And I went into a place, we've only been on the road 2 hours. I mean, what do you need to eat already? But they always did. And so we always stopped. And so they're in there, and my phone rang. And it's the police number. Chaplain, the police number. And so I pick it up. Hey, how can I help you? It wasn't the police. It was a preacher kind of guy. And I said, how did you get this number? I mean, how did you get this number? And he said, then he felt that. Well, I just tell you what, I was just kind of short, because it's not a number that he should have had. And it's not a number that he should have been calling. And if he's got that number, I want to know where he got that number from. And so I said, no, don't you dare hang up on me. You called me, you're on vacation, I'm on vacation, and you called a number that is a restricted number, and I demand to know where you got this number. And he said, well, I got it from Brother So-and-so, who's evangelist. He put it out there on his website and said, you want to annoy somebody? You annoy Brother Bishop. You call this number. It'll really annoy him. He did it on purpose. I'm just telling you. He'll use a Sanballat and Tobiah. He'll use a friend of Sanballat and Tobiah. He'll use family members of Sanballat and Tobiah. He'll use Christian people. Listen, he'll use other preachers that just want to see you get a kick in the shins. What kind of Christianity is that? Well, it's Sunday night. It's all kind of Christianity, I think. Wow, sinister. Public pressure. Attacks. Open letters. I mean, it's crazy stuff. He still does it today. 5 years ago, we got a piece of written material in the office, and it was promoting Calvinism, and it was from a major paper, and I wrote on the paper, we do not accept items of false doctrine at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Take us off your mailing list. And I put a stamp on it, put it in a thing, and sent it back to him. Well, if the editor of that paper didn't call me on the phone, Brother Bishop, I want to have a conversation with you. I said, oh, man, I don't want to have a conversation with you because you're a knucklehead. And so he asked me a question. He asked me a couple of questions. And so I said, listen, I'm not going to debate this with you. If you're really interested in finding out the truth about how dangerous and wicked and vile Calvinism is, then read this book. And he said, I read that book. He said, when the author wrote that book, he called me because he knows I'm on the other side, and he had me write the foreword for that book. I said, then I'll tell you what, fella, I can't help you. If that book can't help you, if that preacher can't help you, there's nothing I can say that is going to help you. 2 weeks later, his magazine comes back in the mail, and I look at it. He didn't take me off his mailing list. And it's one of those that is folded. On the back side, it has a stamp and the address. And on the facing side, it had print on it. And the headline, it says, Philip Bishop from Alexandria, Virginia, doesn't believe the Word of God. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. He took a private conversation and he's going to send it all over the world? What kind of nut is this? So I didn't even open it. I stamped the outside of it, returned to sender, false doctrine not accepted here, and made him pay to have it sent back. And he took me off the mailing list. And I'm glad that he did. I just tell you, Satan's coming after you. He'll come at you in your strength. He'll come at you in weakness. He'll come at your wife. He'll come at your children. Don't be ignorant of his devices. His weapon of choice, unsaved people. That doesn't surprise us. Maybe a believer. Wow. Wow. Remains to be seen. Who's the source of the disinformation? The source is never declared. Exaggeration, inaccuracy, vile gossip, calling him a rebel, saying in verse 7 he wants to be king. But Nehemiah knows a Bible truth. This Bible truth has helped me stay out of trouble. Are you ready for this? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. And I don't know if Nehemiah is thinking about that as they're coming to him for a response to something that he hasn't investigated. But he, every time he says, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And from time to time, somebody will come to me or they'll call me on the phone and say, Pastor, I need some counsel. Now, somebody's come to me. I can't tell you who. And they got a problem. I can't tell you what. And I want to know what you think I should tell them. And I said, you have slow pitched that one to me over the plate. He said, oh, I knew you'd have the answer. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's a folly and shame to him. And you won't tell me the details. You won't tell me who. You won't tell me what. Or you won't tell me where. And I am not allowed biblically to respond. And I will not. And they go, oh, wow. Wow. And it's the end of conversation. And it'll help you just to guard your area of strength, guard your area of weakness. Because Satan's coming. Not once, not twice, not three times. He'll come four times, and he'll just keep coming, keep pecking away. Like Proverbs, that annoying drop of water, that woman. Anyways, just be careful. Because he's not just coming for the preacher. He's coming for you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this chapter. It's some great principles that Nehemiah has laid out. Don't let fear grip your soul. Just keep working. Don't let the enemy's false attacks stop the work. Just keep focused on your priority, your God-given priorities. Don't let your strength be a weakness. Make sure you're relying on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we all be warned and wary and armor up, because as the days get evil, Satan's attacks are going to be relentless. And having done all, may we stand and we'll praise you for that success. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.